Come on down, brother. Let the Lord use you. Amen. You could go up there, my brother.
Can you get me a podium down here? Great. Thank you. I like to be closer to the people. I'm a people. It's an honor to be here tonight to share some important things that's happening with me and actually with you too. You may not know it. Thank you. So I'm going to educate you tonight. You got me one of those that's wiggle bar. I'm going to read a verse first, and then we're going to talk about it. This is really, let me tell you what I'm going to share with you. I love Jesus. He changed my life when I was a sophomore in high school. And all of us are in a different part of maturity, in faith, in obedience. And tonight I will be sharing some information about what's happened to me and going to Israel and the journey, how I got there. I will tell you some information about some stories in Israel that happened that's pretty thrilling. And then I'm going to share some other information with you. But we're going to begin with Romans 11, and that's always a good verse, chapter, to talk about the Jews and the Gentiles. And this is through the Message. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But Romans 11 says, "Does this mean then that God is so fed up with Israel that he has nothing to do more to do with them? Hardly. Remember that I, the one writing these things, am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, out of the tribe of Benjamin." You can't get much more Semitic than that. We're not always talking about reputation. God has been too long involved with Israel and has too much invested to simply wash his hands of them. Then later on it talks about the non-Jews, the Gentiles, being grafted in to the olive tree. So that's us, most of us in here, been grafted in. Also, it goes on to talk about the. When I was growing up, I was in a church staff in Tallahassee, and the pastor talked about, he didn't say this, but replacement theology, which I learned about in Israel, is when the Jewish people said, "We're not going to follow Jesus as Messiah," then the Gentiles started coming on, and that thinking thinks that God's not working with the Jews anymore. It's all the Gentiles. That's replacement theology. And so I don't believe in that, and I hope that you don't believe in it either. God's still doing a good work, has a plan for Jewish people and Israel. He loves Israel. And you can ask everybody, why? I don't know. He's God. He can do whatever he wants to do. But he loves Israel, and part of my growth and taking the veil off of my eyes was what I'll be sharing with you tonight. So fair enough with everybody? Okay, raise your hands and wave to me. Okay, all right, thank you. I'll keep everybody awake. So I'll tell you about my journey. Around 2010, I was transferred up here for my company. I help people with their funerals and cemeteries and cremation arrangements through Banks Page Theus Funeral Home. And the company that I work with is North Star Memorial Group. And I was down in Avon Park, and things changed in life. And so they asked me to come up here to work in Lake County, Sumter County. And so the progression was, now I'm mainly at Banks Page Theus Funeral Home. That is a great thing, because some great things have happened to me as a result of that transfer. Then about in 2011, my wife found out that she had cancer. And so in that process, I'm up here. She's in our home in Polk County. So I'm driving back and forth, and she's doing okay and can take care of herself. And then the progression started, and then the next Rhema word of God, you remember what the Rhema word of God is? Pastor talked about a Rhema word of God is a specific word of God for you at a specific time that changes your life if you listen to it and if you obey it. So I received a Rhema word of God, and he said to me in October of 2013, it's Peg's time to come to heaven, but I have more work for you to do. So I was in a church staff for about 8 years, and then things happened in life, and I had to get a job. The church asked me to leave, and things happened like that. And so I got into sales, into fundraising sales, and into cemetery sales. So I've been doing the cemetery sales for 27 years to provide for my wife and our daughter, Darby. Well, Darby's grown now. She's 33. Peg's in heaven. So I have a lot of freedom. So since that time in 2013, I'm trying to figure out what that more work to do is. I was standing here minding my own business in March of 2015. Pastor Gary's over here, and he says, Russ, come here. He says, I was given a trip to Israel, and I can take someone with me. Do you want to go? I go, well, how much is it? He said, I don't know. Mine was given to me. So through the process, I found out it was a lot of money, and I'm going to put a plug in for soaking, because about that time we had a soaking, my first or second time coming. And I came, and it's a lot. I find out it was $5,000, and I don't really have $5,000 to go to Israel, but I decided not to go. So in there, I was praying right up in here on my face, asking the Lord what he wanted me to do, and I decided not to go. So Pastor Gary comes over and goes like this. So what are you going to do? And I go, well, I don't think I can afford to go. He said, don't worry about that. Let me ask you some questions. He said, if you went, do you think that you would get closer to the Lord? I go, yes, sir, I would. And if you went, do you think you would glorify the Lord? I said, yes, sir. And he asked me two other questions, which I don't remember right now, but they're all yes. And I go, okay, I'm going to go. I still got to pay for it, right? Because his is free. So the next day, that's the Friday night, and on the way home, I got this strange piece. I've never had it before. I'm kind of getting it right now, but it started up here and worked from my top of the head down to my feet while I was driving, and I had to pull over because it was such an emotional experience. I started crying, and said, okay, God was telling me, I'm giving you the peace to go. Okay. So the next day, I was going to, I think his name was Jim. He had bought a house in the villages and had an open house, and I was going to go because I like to meet the villagers because they might need to make prearrangements with me. So I went there, and a friend comes in, and this person looked at me and said, it would be an honor for me to pay your way to go to Israel. Wow. And, you know, when someone says that, you don't go, well, are you sure? So I said, praise the Lord. And I learned in Hebrew, that's Baruch Hashem. So you say, Baruch Hashem. That's very good. That's praise the Lord in Hebrew. So I'm going to Israel. I'm in Israel now with Pastor Gary, 10 days. We're roommates. And it's, if you've been to Israel or really any vacation, you're going, and you're with this group, and you don't want to miss anything, and you're up late, you're up, you get up early, you stay late. And during the middle, we said, well, we need to get Grace Tabernacle to come here and have this experience. Near the end, I was just, oh. I was emotionally drained and physically tired. And so when you fly from Israel to here, it's 7 hours. And so I slept 14 hours or longer when I got back. So the couple of days later, I'm still getting up at 1:30 because it's Israel time. And the second rhema word of God came to me. He said, I want you to go back to Israel for a year. I said, yes, sir, I can do that. There was not a hesitation, a doubt. I said, okay, that's what I'm going to do. Because I had sold my house in Polk County, I live at the funeral home, rent-free. My daughter's on her own. I don't have any obligations, no responsibility, no relationships. And so from that time, so this is 2015, April, okay, how do I get back? So I had made some connections in Israel to a church there, a Messianic Jewish church, and then also Israeli Bible Society. And I thought, well, they know who I am. So I sent them an email. Hey, I'm willing to come, volunteer, no charge. I'll work there for a year. I didn't hear anything back. So I sent another email to him. I didn't hear anything back. And so the group who went, I had made contact with them, and he said, those guys are so busy over there. They don't have time to respond. And then about 3 months later, he did respond and said, blah, 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 I don't need you because I don't speak Hebrew. You know what? I felt like when I was a little peewee guy, learned to play baseball, I got the mumps, and I missed 2 weeks, and so I rode my bicycle to the practice and, hey, coach, I'm here. He goes, my roster's already full. I don't need you. So I ride home on my bike. Riding home. I felt that way. God's good. And so I got past that and started looking for other opportunities. And I found out this group called Return Ministries. And I sent him an email, and Haim Malespin responded in 2 days. So we started having a relationship back and forth. And then I said, I'm interested in coming to help you. And so he said, well, the Return Ministries headquarters is in Canada. And so I sent them an email, and she didn't respond for a while, and I had to send her a text, and she said, well, we don't have any volunteer openings now, so we don't need you. So these doors are closing. I know God called me. So now it is November last year. I get an email that had a video in it from Haim. They just started this discipleship journey in Israel. It's an 8-week discipleship class. And I go, this is great. I can go there, get to know them, they can get to know me. And if it's a mesh, then maybe I can go back there for a year. And so I sent an application in. This is near the end of November. And so that I sent it that, and then I didn't hear back from them. Then on Monday, Thanksgiving week, I found out that I've been accepted to go. So now, guess what? I have to ask my employer if it's okay for me to go for 8 weeks. And it's important for me to be there and make sales, because we are a sales group, and that drives a lot of our revenue. And so I sent a text to the CEO of the company, which I know very well. I've been in his home. I know his kids. Darby's babysitted their children. And he didn't respond. So this is Monday. So I said, well, maybe he's busy. We have 80 locations. He's a kind of a busy guy. Wednesday of Thanksgiving week, I sent him another text. No response. Okay, Thanksgiving Day. He sends out on Facebook a post. So I responded to the post and said, hey, you need to call me. And he didn't respond. And so now here's Friday, Thanksgiving week. And if I'm going to go to the discipleship journey in Israel, I need to leave by November 30th. Make plane fares and all this. So I said, okay, I have to get an answer. So the vice president of Florida and sales for Florida, I know him well. I sent him a text. And I called him. He said, if you need to get a hold of me, send me a text. So I sent him a text. You know, and this is really not the best way to ask for 8 weeks off. Fortunately, I had told him a few months ago, I said, Detlef, I need to talk to you about a personal matter. He said, well, what is it? I said, no, I need to talk to you in person. And I was going to tell him about my call to Israel. Well, he's busy, and he never called me back. He never got back with me. And so in my text, I said, Detlef, remember when I told you I need to talk to you in person? Well, now's the time. I want to go to Israel for 8 weeks. Can I go? So he responded fairly quickly in a couple hours, and so I get a text that says, you have your job when you come back, if you come back. Now, I don't know if he's thinking I wouldn't be come back because I would meet somebody and just stay there, or if I would get injured. I didn't ask him, so I'm going. So we get all the arrangements, we get there, and it just radically changed my life. Being a native in Israel, getting to know the people, meeting Jews, and what's different about that experience is that the tour, then the tour, is that you're going. You're walking where Jesus walked or where they say he walked. You know, it might have been there, it might not have been there. But this was, I got a chance to witness to some Muslims. We had great teaching from a Jewish person that is a Orthodox Jew, not Messianic, doesn't think that Jesus has come. But that's the part that Return Ministries is doing, because Dean Bai, the leader, has developed this relationship with him for the last 6 years. They've been studying the Torah together for 6 years on Sunday night. And for a Jewish, Orthodox Jewish person to even have a relationship with a Christian is a miracle in Israel. And this guy is way up there in the government, and he was did a lot of programming for the defense. And he really is the kind of a guy that if he told you a secret, he would have to kill you because it's that top secret. But he's retired from that, and now he has his own development company. And he came and talked to us for four sessions where he would come and from the Hebraic point of view tell us about these verses. And what's different there is that, you know, we have Pastor Gary up here running around, and then on Sunday, Wednesday, he comes down here and he talks to us. There in the synagogue, you have a small group of people and you have a discussion, and they get really heated about the discussion. Now, my way is right. No, my way is right. And that's what we learned, that they have this discussion. In the discussion, here's one thing that, you don't know who, who is the smartest guy in the world? What's this guy's name? Einstein. Einstein was Jewish. And someone asked Einstein, if the end of the world is going to come in an hour, what would you do? He said, for 55 minutes, I would think of the right question to ask, and then the last 5 minutes, I would answer that question. That's the Jewish mindset. The question is so much more important than the answer. And that's what I learned from him. And in my discussion with one of the Discipleship Journey students, we were talking about this, and he said, it's just like a revelation came. The Old Testament is about asking questions. The New Testament is about answering those questions. And he shared that with the group and with the gentleman. So it's pretty thrilling to have that. And we met some great Messianic Jews. I worshiped in a Messianic church in Tiberias several times. I took communion with the Messianic Jews. I gave an offering. It was unbelievable, my experience there. And I thought God called me, just me, to go there. And what I'm finding out in these last 2 weeks is that I have some people that support me, and they're going to send me there, and I have money in my savings, and if no one supports me, I'm going to spend my own money to go there. But what I found out, it's not about me. The Lord told me this a couple of days ago. Russ, it's not about you. It's about Grace Tabernacle. And everyone in here, you're at a different point in your relationship with the Lord and about your knowledge about Israel and what God wants to use the Jewish people and how he can use you and me. And so what I want to share with you for the next few minutes is what I think is the key to Grace Tabernacle going forward spiritually and numerically. And Pastor Gary talked about Sunday, it's not about the numbers. And another thing I want to say is when I was here at the women's retreat, I was videotaping, okay? I had permission. I was asked to do it. I wasn't looking for anybody, Pastor Miguel. So I was sitting out there, and there's these buses going, the villages. I mean, I saw 20 buses going. And I was telling somebody that, and he said, well, just drive down there, turn left and drive down there, and you'll see what's going on. I go, wow, I've been gone a while, and I didn't know what's going on. please do not, because do not underscore bold letters, do not think just because we're going to be surrounded by the villages that we're going to grow numerically. Okay, that's a trap. Don't get in that trap. People were comparing us to St. Vincent de Paul. Okay, they have three services. Please don't do that. Now, if God wants us to do that, that's his deal. But what we need to do, and the key of spiritual maturity, as Joseph Silva said, let's be spiritual, 100% out of God. The key is loving and supporting Israel. I think because we've had many prophets, many people come and say, Grace Tabernacle, is this going to explode and do all these things? The key is that. The Lord shared that with me the other day. For this church to really be where he wants it to be is for each person to really get a new understanding of what God wants to do in Israel and through Israel, and the Jew and the Gentile coming together. And in our elders group, Kim asked me about that, and I didn't really answer a good question, answer her very good. But this is the answer, Kim, is that God has a plan for the Jewish people. He loves them. He wants them to know Yeshua HaMashiach, which is Jesus Christ in Hebrew. That's what they call him, Yeshua. That's his name, Yeshua. It's not Jesus. It's Yeshua. And HaMashiach is the Messiah. So he wants us as the Gentiles to love them so that they go, wow, why is this Gentile loving me? Because for 2,000 years, the Jews have thought that the Christians are the one that's persecuting them. The Crusades, all the things that the Catholic Church has done. Please don't, if you're Catholic, don't throw stones at me, okay? And they blame the Christians, they being the Jewish people, blame the Holocaust on Christians, because Hitler was in a Christian country. He was a Lutheran. I don't know if he went to church, but that's what they think, okay? It doesn't matter what we think about that, but it's what they think the perception of the Christian is. That's why they don't like Christians. And for 2,000 years, they've had all this persecution. So what I'm going to be doing is going there, helping them understand that the Christians love the Jewish people. And we're supporting them financially, prayerfully, so that they will be provoked to jealousy by my love for them. And they'll go, why would a guy from Wildwood, Florida, give up his job, fly over there, and go through the inconvenience? Why would he do that? Why would you do that? Because I love Yeshua, and I want you to know him too. I want you to know Yeshua like I know him. And that's how we all should live. The neighbors that we have. Now, when I was, I got kicked out of a Catholic bazaar one time because I was witnessing. I mean, I was on fire. I'm still on fire, but I'm a little bit more mature, a little bit, you know, the right way. And I'm not going to go to Israel and just start witnessing the four spiritual laws to the Jewish people. That doesn't work there. They know the Bible better than I do. I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to love them. I'm going to serve them. I'm going to do whatever it takes. But a big part of that is the DJI group is I'm going to be doing video and marketing and social media to get the word about what they're doing. Thank you. So I'd like to share a couple. Okay, wait. Well, we can watch that now. Turn it up.
This is where the restoration began, and the culmination of history will center, I believe.
Hello, you're standing next to the Jordan River. This historic river is the very river that parted when Joshua led 12
tribes
to make Aliyah into this, their promised land. Do you know how many people are making Aliyah right now from France, from Hungary, from the U.S., from England? We are here at the Aliyah Return Center Jordan River location, our expansion. But yes, it is not ready yet. It needs to be renovated. That's a lot of work. But you know what God says? He says, assuredly, I will rejoice over them to do them good and plant them in the land with all of my heart and all of my soul. That's what we want to do here. We want to welcome these new immigrants that are coming off the plane here to this new location. We want to bless them. We want to love them. And you know what? We want to have fun while we're at it. But yes, we need support. Yes, we need help. So please come participate with what God is doing for such a time as this.
There may be another one playing.
Oh, hey, you've caught me in the middle of renovations of this building here in the Aliyah Return Center, Jordan River. But we need a lot more help because we still have got this dining room that can seat hundreds of people, this bus stop, the International Visitor Center, this water tower, the Circle Drive bus park. We can't play with grass on the court. I'm not even sure what this building is. We need to fix this. And over here at the out, can someone please trim that? A group of 21 immigrants made Aliyah to here. They're in the army. But on Thursday, a group of volunteers is coming to renovate this place thanks to your donations. This Aliyah Return Center International guest house needs renovation. The Candles in the Valley program needs renovation.
These also?
With your donations, we're going to get these classrooms reactivated. And this building, it's already done. It's housing right now Israelis in need. Once renovated, this is one of the buildings that the Jewish Agency will be doing integration projects in. One of the absorption projects that we do is helping lone soldiers, and this very building will be housing them as soon as possible. I mean, the scope of this fundraiser that you've been so helpful in and will continue to succeed is to remove this asbestos roof. That's poisonous. And we're going to put a new roof on this lone soldier building, and we're going to get this place filled with lone soldiers. We're going to bless their socks off. As you see, the walls are cracked. We're getting an architect in this week and an interior design man who's going to get this place amazing. A lot of our volunteers who come from around the world come and work here for free because they believe in the restoration of Israel, and we need to get this building restored for them to have a place to stay. The red carpet treatment that we are known to give to return members will be yet expanded to this new building, which has two floors overlooking the Jordan Valley. It doesn't look like much now, but it will be immaculate for any and all who come in the doors of the Aliyah Return Center guest house here. It's a pretty warm day. Let's go do some laps in the huge pool over here. Of course, that needs to be renovated. Right here are some of the buildings which could be high-end. We'll have to tear these completely out and put in some high-end hotel-style dwellings. Aliyah Return Center volunteers, staff and team, return members, I mean Jewish Agency, Masa, Wings, Taglit, all kinds of different people will be able to swim here and enjoy each other's company in this joint initiative of refreshment to the Jordan Valley.
Here we're going to Latina, Apollo. Some of it will be prayer room, some of it will be for the Ark Jordan River.
That's where I was, Jordan River. 5 minutes from the Jordan River, and the renovation was, that's all exactly where I'm going to be. A couple of specific stories that happened, I'll share two. One was the Holocaust Museum, I just found out, was renovated, and before, the other one blamed Christians for the Holocaust, as I said a while ago. The new one is not so much that, talked about a lot of video of Hitler and all the bad things. And we had 21 people go on this discipleship journey in Israel the first 8-week session. And one of them was Jewish. She was a Messianic Jew, and she thought all of them were going to be Jews. So it was great that she was there because it gave us a different dimension in looking into the Jewish people and our relationship. And after we went through the Holocaust Museum, we were going to go into the Children's Memorial, and we had a few minutes because there were some other groups there. And we got in the circle, and one of our leaders, her grandfather, fought for the Germans in the war. And so she went to Nancy and said, Nancy, I want to apologize to you, ask for forgiveness for the German people and for what my grandfather did. And she just started crying and hugged her. And then one by one, several of us went. And then there's a young couple from Germany. And if you're following me on Facebook, Carl got tremendously sick. Before he got sick, he went to her and said, on behalf of the German people, please forgive us. And for, he's 25 years old, for a young man to do that, Nancy just started bawling. And she said, I've been waiting all my life for someone to say that. That's powerful. So the unexpected happened while I was there. I wasn't expecting that to happen. Another thing that was a miracle, and it's all spiritual warfare. There were 21 people, 15 people got sick. One guy broke his hip. Carl almost died. And they don't know why. You know, the people in Israel, pretty smart. They didn't figure it out. When he went to Germany, they go, we don't know why he got sick. We all know it was spiritual warfare. And I didn't get sick. I didn't get injured. The worst thing that happened to me is when I put my hand in my backpack, the zipper cut me. And I give you credit because before I went, Pastor Gary had me come up here. He blessed me. He sent me off as a missionary from Grace Tabernacle to Israel. You prayed. A lot of people prayed for me regularly, and I appreciate that. And I believe that's why I always live in this little bubble that Jesus protected me from all those bad things. And I mentioned that to the group, and not one of them had that experience except for me. So that was one of my recommendations in the evaluation, that if someone's going to come, they need to be blessed and sent out from their church, a local body, prayed for and sent out. The other miracle, all this was happening during this time, is that in September, they were given, okay, let me give you some history. A kibbutz, you know what a kibbutz is? It's a communal living. So these kibbutz, the kibbutz that you just saw, is older than Israel. So in 1927, it's the third oldest kibbutz in Israel. The people, the Jewish people came to there and they built this communal living. So they wanted to be there and work and all that. So they had a school. And over the years, that's been not used. And so I was told that if the prime minister went to this kibbutz and said, hey, we want you to do this other thing, they go, we don't have to. We're a kibbutz. So they're almost like an autonomous thing within Israel. So Return Ministries was bidding on the use of those buildings, and then someone else was bidding on the use of them too. And so the kibbutz said, why don't you guys get together and work it out? The other group was the Jewish Agency. The Jewish Agency is very old, older than Israel. And what they do, there's this gentleman that's in charge, kind of like a CEO of a company. And there's 120 different groups of ministries or organizations that help the Jewish people all over the world. If there's something bad happen, then they'll go and help them. And as you can imagine, some of the Orthodox Jews, all ultra-Orthodox Jews, don't want to have anything to do with Christians, for all the reasons I told you a while ago. And so back in September, it was given the right for us, because they accept, okay, you can, the Return Ministries can take this over, $1 for 15 years. And then you can be responsible for renovating it, helping people. And what they really want to do is help the Jewish people in North America who can't afford it, come and have a place to stay for a month or 2 months while they find a job, while they get acclimated to the culture, while they learn the language. Because North American Jews, you know, they don't know Hebrew. And so God's calling the Jewish people back. Didn't he say that? There's 64 verses in the Bible that says that the Jews are going to go back to Israel. So it's a big thing to God when he uses 64 verses in the Bible to talk about that. So there's this opposition. The enemy doesn't want the Jewish people to go back, because he knows when they all go back, guess what? God's going to be coming back. I don't know, you know, I don't, the eschatology, pre-mid, post-trip, I don't know anything about, you know, I don't know what God's plan is, But his plan is for the Jew and the Gentile to get together so he can come back and bring his kingdom. Amen? So there's this group that doesn't want the Jewish agency to work with a Christian group. That's never been happened before. Never, that's to my knowledge. So Dean By, their leader, was called to meet with this guy. We're praying. And then he was given counsel to take some Orthodox Jews that he knows, that he loves, and they love him, with him. So the first question that this, now, this CEO can could invite whoever he wanted to. So he invited like three or four of his top leaders. A lot of people of the 120 didn't come. They weren't invited. They wanted to go, but he didn't let them come. And so the first question he has, you know, I would think, well, you know, what are you going to do to help the Jewish people? You know, what are you going to do to renovate the buildings? None of that stuff. They don't care about that stuff. The question he asked was, so what's your relationship with the Messianic Church? You know, to them, that's important. And he goes, and then the guy I was telling you about that was in the defense system, for 10 minutes, he talked in Hebrew. And occasionally they look at Dean and look back at each other. And then when he stopped, the mayor, I think the mayor of Tiberias, who is an Orthodox Jew, started in. Because they know Dean, they know his heart. There's no alternative motive. We're not coming in there to sneak up and, you know, get all these Jews to be Christians. We're there to love them and then let God, let the Holy Spirit work on their life, and he can be the person that draws them to himself and reveal Yeshua as Messiah. So finally, after 20 minutes of this Hebrew talk, then he got to speak. Now, these guys know Hebrew and English and a lot of other languages. So Dean was able to tell him a little bit about what his vision is, and he has no ulterior motive, but just to love the people, help them get back there. And so at the end of it, the guy with the authority, you know, he didn't say, you know, okay, open up for discussion. Leaders, what do y'all think? He said, now, they were this close of not being in. He goes, you're in. And so we got the key and got in, and there's a group from a couple from Alaska that they were there a few months ago, and then they brought eight suitcases. They're there for, they want to be, they want to live there. And so they moved in first to Betzera, which is about 15, 20 minutes from Tiberias. And it's not perfect, okay? They have a room off a kitchen and then this dorm area. So it's not perfect area, but they're there. They love Israel. They love the Jewish people. And then Dean said, okay, who would like to go there next? You know, we need, because we have some other people coming in. And I raised my hand and said, I'll go. So I was the third person to live, third Gentile to live in that kibbutz, that I'm in this renovated area. And so it's thrilling to be part of all that. I was there when they had the meeting and the Jewish agency gave them permission. And you were there because you were supporting me. And what God is showing me, it's not about me. It's about all of us, thank you, working together so that God can do what he promised the Jewish people to bring his kingdom back. So now the challenge, I want to go, I have some support, but I could go right now. I could get money out of my savings and just go and do it all myself. I have enough in savings to do that. That's not what God's plan is. God's plan is for me to be here, share this with you, and so that your eyes can start to be opened about what God wants to do with the Jewish people and how you can help. And I'm going to be very specific. For me to go, I'm asking you to pray about four things. First is pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We're commanded to do that. And bless Israel. There's lots of ways you can do that. The second thing is I'm going to go. Whether you help me or not, I'm going to go. I want you to get the blessing. And now for the first time, I understand when ministers come and they talk about that. I understand that now. So pray for me for protection, just like you did before. because it's still, the enemy doesn't want me to go. And I can tell you, before I went, I had this terrible pain in my knee, my good knee. I had surgery on this playing football, and so it was just terrible. I go, I'm going to be walking a lot in Israel. I can't go with this knee. So I called my friend Kitty, and we prayed, and by his blood and his stripes, I'm healed. No weapon formed against me will prosper. And then it was there a little bit, then it went away. Not one time did I have any pain in either knee. So God's protecting me from that. So that's the second thing. So the third thing is, consider supporting me financially. And for a lot of prayer about what I'm going to share with you now, what to do. I would really like to have it all taken care of tonight so I don't have to worry about where I'm going to get the money to go. And it's more complicated than I even thought about donating money and all this stuff and involving the church. And we're still trying to work all this out. But I'm asking for 35 people or family members of Grace Tabernacle to donate $35 a month for 12 months. That's $420 for the year one time. So some people can give more, some people can give less, but if 35 people do that for the next 12 months, and I'm going to be, not have to worry about where I'm going to get the money and all that stuff. I'm going to sell my car. I'm going to reduce my, I mean, there's lots of little details, but I'm going to be homeless. And when I come back, I won't have the place at the funeral home to live. They're going to remodel that. So it's a little scary, but I know that God wants me to do this, so I'm not worried about it. So I'm going to go, and I'm asking you to help me be a part of our team that would be involved in loving Israel and blessing Israel. So Brother Joe has some flyers, so if you'll pass those out, maybe Carl can help you pass those out. So, y'all have any questions? Did I forget anything? Jenny, did I forget anything? Okay. If you give right now, we don't know whether it's, right now it's not tax deductible. But if you give $420, that's not that really big a deal. So right now it's not tax deductible. It might be, but right now it's not. Oh, that's a good question. I wanted to go April 1st to go to my Texas to be with my mom. She's 82. And when I called her, I said, I want to go back for Israel for a year, Mom. And she goes, and this is what she said, no, no, no. I mean, that's what she said. I go, oh, Mom, okay. So I explained to her, and I said, I really would like for your blessing to go. Well, I can't give it right now. So just think about it. So she started thinking about it. And then I called her another day, and how are you doing on that blessing, Mom? She said, I'm not ready. Why do you want to go? She said, there's lots of people in America that need Jesus. Why do you want to go to Israel? I said, Mom, God called me to go over there. And it's hard to explain that kind of call. But there's no doubt in my mind that's what he wants me to do. And now I'm learning more of your involvement, of how important that is. And I'll have a Facebook and I'll be doing weekly updates so that you can know where I am and be part of it. And it'll be good. So I get a card from her. It says, love, Mom, you know, on my birthday. Love, Mom. She doesn't say anything. Just the card is supposed to say everything, okay? Is that, Vicky, you were shaking your head. So I get these cards, love, Mom. And so I get a text. It says, you have my blessing. So. Yeah. Yeah. So to answer your question, it may not be April, but I wanted to go, but I realize now it's just a lot of stuff to do for me to go. Speaking of that, I did finally, about 4 weeks ago, I sent my employer, hey, I'd like to go to Israel for a year. No response for 3 weeks. And then I sent Detlef I called Detlef. I sent him a text. I said, Detlef, you know, I'm going to go to Israel. I haven't heard from North Star. That's the company's name. What can I do? He said, well, let me look into it. I'm in the home office. So he sent me a text, says, you can go, and you'll have your job when you get back. But because I asked him if I could stay an employee because of the insurance and do online marketing, which they would, you know, to me, they would benefit quite a bit. But they go, no, we're not going to do that. So that's another thing, that insurance. And so there's lots of little details. I know God's going to work it all out. I'm not stressed about it. I know some people might be stressed about it. I am 62 and I'm on March 19th. Yeah. My accommodations would be, remember when he was in the video, he showed one of the areas where they're renovating it. That's all beautiful now. That's part of what we did. We cleaned it all up. It's all painted. They had one big room. They made into three rooms. And so I would probably be living with 5 or 10 other people in bunk beds in that area. So it's not going to be the Hilton or Dan Jerusalem. It'll be, but it won't be out in the wilderness either. So it'll be good. So why did you ask how old I was? No. I have to be 65 for that. Well, it's not free. They have a business. Their business is tourism. So it costs to go there. It's going to cost about $26,000 for me to go there. Yeah, it's a ministry. Mm-hmm. That's how they do tourism. See, in Israel, you can't have a ministry in Israel. You can't be. There's only one church, which is Christ the King Church in Jerusalem, that's allowed to be there. They were there way before Israel became a country in 1948. So they're the only legal church, Messianic church in Israel. So all the others, it's not really legal. I think I'm saying that right. To be a church. So there's home churches. And so these people, they need a way to make money. So the guy I met the first time I went, he's a photographer. So that's his business. That's how he makes his living. But he's also a pastor. Yeah, that was, he was mistaken. So that, you know, maybe I could say, hey, Haim, you said it's free on the video. Are you going to waive my fees? Yes, ma'am. I didn't hear you. Oh, it's for a wife. No. No. It was three. Yeah. Well, I did have a fourth one, but it's irrelevant now. Any other questions? I want to say that this is the only church I've ever gone to, and this, when I came up here, I knew Larry Meeks. Larry Meeks worked with me, and he went here and said, come visit with us. So I came a few Wednesdays, and then I didn't really come back for a while because I was going helping Peg, and so I didn't come. But when Peg got her promotion to heaven in January of 2014, then I started coming here full-time. And I was set right there where Carl was, and then there was a young man set right here by himself, had real long hair. Do you remember his name? Howard? Howard. So I said, he's lonely. I need to go sit with him. So I sat with him. And then that's just why I sit up there. Okay. Any other questions? Yes, sir. Yeah, if you, there's two ways to, well, lots of different ways, but we're wanting to have monthly support. But if you say, hey, I'm just going to give $500, $1,000, whatever it is, then that's fine too. But we have this a commitment of 35 people of monthly support, then we have a base to know when I can go. I mean, I'm just not going to go without some kind of support. Maybe that's not the right way to go, but I trust the Lord provided. So, yes, ma'am. Yeah, she, okay, thank you. So in our envelopes, there's another line. If you want to give, please don't give to Grace Tabernacle this for this. I mean, give to Grace Tabernacle, but if you want to support me, the check needs to be made to Heart for Zion, because it's a we have a bank account for that, and that's what we're trying to figure out if it's tax deductible or not. But Heart for Zion on there, and if you, I would like to, and I'm going to have a table out for the next few weeks out there, and if you have questions for me, but if you please would, if you want to support financially, then if you'll give me that little sheet of paper or the money, then we'll do that tonight. And you might need to want to go home and think about it, pray about it. But whatever, you know, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, be obedient. Anything else? Thank you. I love you. Love you. Love you. Love you. And thank you.